Go to Matthew 27th chapter. And it would be verse 46 alone, but let me read a little bit more scripture because God showed me something significant that I think will help us on this journey. Because no matter what we're dealing with, we are still on our way to victory. I don't mistake a current condition for not making it to being victorious. But I want you to see something that I saw this morning and it blew my mind. Gramps, it blew my mind because I don't think I ever paid attention to this. So I think you'll appreciate it. Starting in verse 45, it says, "Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?' That is, 'My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?' And some of the bystanders heard it and said, 'This man is calling Elijah.' And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, 'Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him.' And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit." Now, here's the thing that blew my mind. Stay with me. Verse 51. "And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split." 52. Here we go. "The tombs also were opened. Men and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" It is easy to look at life circumstances and begin to ascribe to those circumstances that they are the reason that we feel the way we feel. If you're dealing with folk that don't have good sense and you find yourself frustrated, you will automatically look at them and say, "You have gotten on my last nerve." You go to a restaurant and you order a steak and somehow you ordered it one way, but it comes out another. You wanted it medium, but it comes out medium rare. Or God help you if you order medium and it comes out well done. You ascribe your frustration over your meal to the incompetency of the kitchen. And you feel like nobody understands your plight. You got jobs that run you down. You got school situations that seem to be almost beneath you because they no longer challenge you. You have all kind of things that happen in your environment, and somehow, some way, we all at some point try to ascribe blame to what is happening around us. Yeah. Yeah. Not realizing that everything going on in our lives, not only one, has a purpose, but two, is going to bring us to the exact place where we ought to be. And it's a challenge to go through life knowing that we have issues and difficulties and the ups and downs of life, and it's hard to see whatever victory is on the other side of all this. Yes. What is the good part about feeling pain? What is good about feeling frustrated? What is good about feeling as if nobody cares? On surface, absolutely nothing. Because we want somebody to care about what we're going through. We want somebody to actually know that no matter what we're facing in life, we're still human. We want people to recognize that my spirituality does not negate my humanity. We want people to understand that what we are going through is not defining us, but right now it is messing us up. I wish I was in the right place. I know I'm going through right now, but you better wake up in here. Because the reality is, if we're an honest people and we're an honest church, every day is not sunny. Every day is not a moment where you're going through and walking through the roses. But every now and then, we got to find a way that even when we're going through our hardest moment, that somehow, some way down the line, there's still some light at the end of the tunnel. And I just believe that somehow there is still some light at the end of all this. Look at Jesus. Jesus is on this cross and he's saying one of these seven words. And he is saying right now that he is feeling totally 100% neglected by the Father. How is it possible that all of a sudden that somebody who loves and cares and is connected to the Father as Jesus is all of a sudden feels negated by him? Have you ever been there? You're going through all kind of stuff and wondering, where is God? Even Jesus is saying, where are you now, my God? My God, why have you forsaken me? It's not that God necessarily forsaken him in the sense of rejection. But in the sense of this, Jesus was the sacrifice that gave us the opportunity to live. And we know that God cannot dwell in the presence of sin. And because sin was being dealt with at the cross, there was a moment where stuff had to shift. And when the shift happened, the man Jesus looked up to the God that he is and was connected to and felt for the first time in all of creation a disconnect between divinity and humanity. Every now and then you got to remember that everything you're going through doesn't mean that God ain't around. It's just sometimes you can't always track him. Jesus couldn't track him because he was now something he never thought he would be. The personification of sin. Sin placed upon him so now that he would take our place. Imagine that in that moment Jesus felt exactly what Adam and Eve felt when everything went down. You remember when they messed up and God found out what happened. You're getting kicked out of paradise. And now you cannot be connected to me as you once were. It doesn't mean I've totally left, but we ain't walking through the garden alone no more. And it took another Adam to straighten out what Adam messed up. So now that this other Adam, this other man has now come on the scene, he is going through the process of something none of us could go through. Can you imagine if we had to pay for all the mess we've done? We would be in a world of trouble. We have a hard time forgiving one another for little stuff. Can you imagine what it would be like if we had to repay God for turning our backs on God? And he took it. And he took it. And he took it. Until he died. So preacher, where the joy? The joy is not in the forsaking part. That's why you read your Bible. Because when you read the text, you begin to see a whole lot of stuff happening. Jesus said that he felt forsaken. But in the text, further down, it's showing us in Matthew's depiction of it, it's saying that after all that was done,
yes, sir,
some other things began to happen.
Yes, sir.
Jesus died until he couldn't die no more.
Yes. Hallelujah.
But watch what happened. The temple shook.
Yes,
the Holy of Holies lost its cover. It was ripped top to bottom.
Yes, Lord.
But here's the other part, and I'm almost finished. And the graves. I got to teach y'all when to shout. The graves gave up their dead. Before, watch this, before Jesus was even put in the ground, the graves gave up their dead. So, I'm not going to fly away yet. And when the graves gave up their dead, they got up out of their graves, and the text says that they eventually entered into the city. I'm glad somebody caught it. There it is. Now here's the key. You think that what you're going through is bad. And it is. You think that what you're dealing with today is horrible. And it is. But if you endure it, somebody's going to get blessed by it. Prove your point in the text. Let me prove the point. Jesus died, suffered. But then it said the saints that were in the grave, their graves gave up the saints, and the saints who had no chance got up and they came out. So that means no matter what you're going through today, no matter what you're facing today, no matter the trouble you're facing today, no matter the trials you're feeling right now, know this, that on the other side of it, your life, your purpose, your destiny, your everything is going to bless somebody's life. And when somebody gets up out of that grave, they're going to be the precursor to your own deliverance. And when you get up out of this, when you get up out of this, you're not going to be the same. When you get up out of this, you're going to get up scars and all, but you'll be able to say, I got up because this wasn't going to hold me down. Is there anybody in here that's got any reason before we get to Resurrection Sunday to shout right now that your life still got a resurrection on it, that your witness still has power behind it, that somehow, some way, that somebody is going to be blessed by this? Your children will be blessed. Your grandchildren will be blessed. Your wife, your husband, everybody will be blessed because you got to go through it. But count it all joy when you're going through the test and trials of life, because when you come out, that's all I want to leave with you today. This ain't going to last forever. This is not the end of the story. I feel churchy, so excuse me. We are now at the shouting moment. But every now and then, you ought to praise God now while you're going through it. Praise God now while you're going through it. Because on the other side, there's joy. On the other side, there's healing. On the other side, there's deliverance. On the other side, there's power. On the other side, there's joy forevermore. There's a blessing in your struggle. There's a blessing. blessing in your test. There's a blessing in your trial. So shout now, because he's already worked it out. Say it. Shout it. Shout it.